We are going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter number 9. Exodus chapter number 9, verses 13 through 16. Exodus 9, 13 through 16. It is a joy to be back together, to together glorify Him and to learn of Him from His Word. 2 weeks ago, we began a series of messages on Wednesday night concerning God who is almighty over all. And we looked at, last time, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And we said that God is even almighty over nothingness. And so, when there was nothing, God was almighty over nothingness and actually created out of nothing. God had no need of anything. And before there was creation, before there was redemption, before there was anything, there was God. And as God, He is to be worshipped and praised because of who He is. He is God, and even when there is nothing, He is God Almighty. Tonight, I want to look at these few verses of Scripture and talk about God who is mighty over the mighty. God who is mighty over the mighty. Verse 13 of chapter number 9 of the book of Exodus. And the Lord God said unto Moses. Now the context is we are in the midst of the plagues. Moses is being sent by God over and over and over again back to Pharaoh, telling him to let God's people go. And because Pharaoh is refusing to obey, these plagues are coming upon the Egyptians. So he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve or worship me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And that's God's word, and God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just the privilege of having it, reading it, studying it, coming to some sort of comprehension of it. God, you know that we are unable to fully come to any sort of understanding of it on our own. We are weak, we are feeble, we are needy. And so we ask that you would tonight help us. Give us understanding of your word. Help us to see with clarity what you have written for us to hear. And may in it we see our God who is almighty over all things. A God that is trustworthy. A God that is faithful, a God that has all power, a God who cares, a God who loves, a God who we can put our faith in. So help us to see that we have an all-powerful God, and there is nothing, nor is there anyone, who can even compare to our God. Lead us, guide us, and direct us tonight, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you three things tonight, quickly from the text, about God being almighty over the mighty. Now understand this. At the time, there is no one who carries the might, the power, nor the authority on earth as did Pharaoh, especially to the children of Israel, or the Hebrew children. They are in bondage. They are in slavery in Egypt. And the man who stands above them and over them and who becomes their cruel taskmaster is Pharaoh himself. He stands as the largest, most fierce authority on earth over them. Yet, he has someone over him. He is mighty, but he is not almighty. So let's look here at what the Bible says. Number one, God has power over the mighty. Pharaoh might have great mightiness on earth, but there is God who is over and has more power than him. Now let's look at the surety of God's power. God tells Moses to rise up early in the morning, go before Pharaoh and tell him that the Lord God of the Hebrews says, "Let my people go that they may serve me." That is not a suggestion. That is a command. Pharaoh, God said, "Let my people go." And he says, "If you don't, I will send more plagues. And these plagues will affect you, your servants, and your people." Now, with these words, what God is doing is informing Pharaoh of something that should have been obvious to him already. And what should have been obvious already is that the God of Israel had the power to wipe Egypt off the face of the map. He could have destroyed all of them. Amen? The first six plagues up to this point had caused enough hardship for Pharaoh to recognize and to realize that he was dealing with a God of great power. Power that he had not seen anything like. Now you understand that the Egyptians, they worshipped a plurality of gods, but he had not seen the power or the might that had been displayed by the God of Israel in these six plagues. And speaking through the prophet Moses, God proceeds to warn Pharaoh that he is about to receive the hardest blow yet. What God called the full force of his plagues. He said, "I will at this time send all my plagues, the full force of my plagues upon you." Now, we understand that the plagues were miracles, right? And one of the miraculous things about them is that each one is more increasingly severe than the previous. They were miraculous, but they were miraculous in their intensification. So, if you thought the first plague showed the power of God, the second one was even more intensified. It showed he had more power. And the third one, more power. And the fourth one, more power. which goes to show us there is no end to God's power. There is no boundary to God's power. They weren't becoming little nuisances. They were terrible things. They began in the water, then moved onto the land. And with the seventh plague that started to rain down from the sky, things were getting much worse in Egypt and for Pharaoh. And God was opening up the arsenal of judgment and pouring out his wrath on Egypt. You know, we often talk about the great arsenal that is the military of the United States. And I think the United States has the greatest military might in the world. But our arsenal doesn't even begin to compare to the arsenal that God has. We learned not too long ago that God can send rain long enough to flood entire cities in South Carolina. Amen? God has an arsenal at his disposal that no man can number and that no man can contend with. And God has power, and God has great power, and God has unlimited power. He is almighty. But notice, secondly, the scope of his power. Because God says here that he not only has the power to affect the one in charge, he not only has the power to deal with Pharaoh, but he also has the power to deal with those that the man in charge is in charge of. So he says here that the aim of God says his aim with these plagues is Pharaoh's heart. Now why would God be aiming at Pharaoh's heart? Because that was the problem with Pharaoh, his heart. And his heart was being hardened with each plague. But he says here, I'm not only going to deal with Pharaoh, but I'm going to deal with his servants, and I'm going to deal with his people. So not only will Pharaoh, the man in charge, be affected, but Pharaoh's servants and Pharaoh's people, the one that he rules and reigns over, they'll be affected as well. So that the power of God will extend and will affect every single person that is in Egypt, except God's people. So there will not be one Egyptian that will escape the effect of the power of God. His power is not concentrated to a few or to a small area. God's power is immense and it is unlimited and it affects wide areas. It can affect all areas with no limits to God's power. And so you can understand that with God's power being exerted on the people, God's power being exerted on the servants, and God's power being exerted on Pharaoh, Pharaoh is getting it from all sides. From God, from his servants, and from his people. And Pharaoh is responsible for all of it. He's mighty. He carries great might. Maybe the mightiest man on earth at the time. But he's not almighty. God has power over the mightiest man on earth. Look at number two. God is the provider of the mighty. Verse 15 and 16. God says, "For now I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up." Isn't that amazing? God not only says, "I have power to bring great trouble and great plagues and great problems on you, your servants, and your people. I have the power to affect every single person, every single Egyptian in the land. I have power to bring plagues upon you that are intensified with each plague. But he says this, Pharaoh, I'm the one that put you where you are. In other words, the power of the mighty is due to the power of the Almighty. So God had provided for Pharaoh his position. Now, Pharaoh is the mightiest man on earth, probably. He has achieved this highest place in Egypt, but he has not achieved it because of some educational level that he has acquired. He's not achieved this place because of some networking connections, some connections that he has, some relatives that he may have cashed in on. It's not because he is mighty in himself. It's not because he is intelligent or because of his military conquest. No, Pharaoh is Pharaoh because God made him Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is where he is because of the God that he denies put him there. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Nothing happened because he made it happen. It is by the providential hand of God that he is where he is. And the same is true for us. We have not clawed our way to the top. We have not educated our way to greater things. We are where we are by the grace and the providence of an almighty God. Nothing has happened by chance. God has caused him to come into power, and he has no clue that that's true, but it's true. He may have thought that he has risen up through the ranks. His hard work, his dedication, his faithfulness, his loyalty has brought him to the top. And none of that brought him to the top. God brought him to the top. And sometimes I think we think that we are where we are by our hard work and by our dedication and by our saving and ingenuity. None of that really is true. God, who is almighty over all, has placed us where we are in this life. Amen? God has provided his position. God had also provided his possessions. In fact, everything Pharaoh has been given to him by God. Pharaoh has a palace. God gave him the palace. Pharaoh had a throne. God placed him on the throne. Pharaoh had a wife, I'm supposing. God gave him a wife. Pharaoh had children. God gave him children. Pharaoh had servants. God gave Pharaoh his servants. Pharaoh had wealth. God had given him his wealth. Pharaoh had abilities. God had given him abilities. Pharaoh had life. His heart was beating. It was God who gave him life. Pharaoh had health. It was God who gave him health. Pharaoh had a kingdom. It was God who gave him a kingdom. Pharaoh had people. It was God who gave him people. You see, everything Pharaoh had, God had given Pharaoh. What do you have that God has not given you? What is it that we can brag about that we have done of our own? Nothing. God has blessed us. God has given us. God has providentially given us all that we have. By the very God that he does not know, he was given all things, but he is quickly coming to terms with who this God truly is. The fact of the matter of this is this. The mighty are only mighty because the Almighty has made them mighty. Did you hear me? The mighty are only mighty because the Almighty God has made them mighty. And we look at our own country and say, well, so-and-so won the most votes. I'm here to tell you that God will put in office who God desires to put in office. He raises leaders up. He casts leaders down. He raises leaders up. He raised Nebuchadnezzar up and then drove him crazy. He raises them up as he did Pharaoh, and then he hardens their heart. Pharaoh had not risen to power. Pharaoh had not gained his mightiness because God was sleeping on the job and God didn't know. It was God himself who had caused Pharaoh to rise in such degrees of might and power. That's what he says, isn't it? He says this, and in very deed for this cause have I raised you up. I wonder what Pharaoh thought about that. The God of the Hebrews had raised an Egyptian Pharaoh to power so that he could send plague after plague after plague after plague after plague to show this Pharaoh that there are not many gods. There is one God. And this one God is Almighty God. Notice thirdly, not only that God has power over the mighty and God is the provider of the mighty, but God has a purpose for the mighty. Now, this is what he says. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up for to show in thee what? My power. And that my name may be declared throughout the earth. God says, Pharaoh, I have raised you up so that I can take you down. So that you may see my power. That you may see that you're mighty, but you're not almighty. And that my name may be declared, not only in Egypt, not only with the Hebrews, that my name may be declared throughout the earth. Amen? Now notice a couple of things here. Notice the demonstration of God's judgment. Now, why are the plagues coming in the first place? Why do we have plagues coming on the land of Egypt? Is it not because Pharaoh had refused to obey God? Over and over and over again, Moses said, God said, let my people go that they may serve me. Now let me just stop there for just a minute, and we don't want to miss this. The reason why the Israelites were delivered from Egyptian bondage was not that they could just be free, but that they may serve and worship God. We are saved for the same reason, not that we could just be free. We are saved from sin so that we may worship and praise God. That wasn't even in my notes. That's free. But over and over and over again, God had told Pharaoh to let my people go. He didn't say, Pharaoh, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you please let my people go? No. Maybe Pharaoh was upset because him being mighty, he felt like God needed to come to him and ask. Well, Almighty doesn't ask mighty anything. God said, let my people go. And over and over and over again, Pharaoh had refused to obey God. And so, a plague. A plague was the result of disobedience. You remember the first plague came? The water was turned into blood. And then there was the plague of frogs. And I'm guessing, given the rumor of frogs, there was warts that followed after that. And then we had the plague of lice. If I was Pharaoh, that one would have done me right there. We're in a school situation here, and there's often times where there is the danger, or the the danger or the risk of someone having lice, and they'll call down the office and say, "I think Watson so and so may have lice." And before me and Denise can even get down there and look, we're scratching and we're, are you with me? I'm not going to deal well with lice. And then there's flies after that. Blood, frogs, lice, flies. Pestilence, boils. And now God is going to rain down hail. The Hebrew word for plagues is the word that means blow. It's blow after blow after blow. It is the power of God bringing judgment upon Pharaoh and the land of Egypt for his disobedience. He raised Pharaoh up, said that he will not let his people go. Remember, that was the thing that he told Moses, you go tell him, but he's not going to let the people go. The plagues come one after another on his continued disobedience, and the plagues increase in intensity. The longer the disobedience goes on, the intenser the judgment upon that disobedience will be. God doesn't let disobedience just have free reign. All sin is judged. Amen? Judged here, judged for eternity, and if it's not judged on Christ, you will have to bear the judgment yourself. But Pharaoh is receiving the judgment of God for his disobedience in the plagues. But next, it is a declaration of God's omnipotence. He says here, not only has he raised him up so that he would show in him his power, but that his name may be declared throughout all the earth. God's purpose here in this entire scenario is that it would be clear that there is none like him in all the earth. None. The thousands of gods that the Egyptians had, even the gods that the Israelite people had began to worship while they were with the Egyptians, God wants it to be clear earth-wide that there is none like him. And God's name will be declared throughout the earth. We were talking after church today down here. Forgot who I was talking to, but this idea came up. God is all about God. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we will be. God is all about God. And so he's rescuing the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage by displaying his great power and might over Pharaoh and over the land of Egypt. Why? So that his name would be glorified and magnified among all people. That the whole earth may know that there is no God like the God of the Hebrews. There's no God like the Israelites' God, because he sent plague after plague after plague until Pharaoh finally said, "Let him go." God will get His way. Amen? And why does God do all that? Why did God raise Pharaoh up? Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Why did God say that he would refuse to let his people go? Why did God bring plague after plague after plague, power after power, blow after blow upon Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh would see who had the power and that the world would know he is the only God? The whole earth may know not only the name of God that is declared, but that they would fear this God. He raises up the mighty, gives them power, gives them position, gives them possessions, just to show that there is one mightier than they are, and that there is one whom they are accountable to. And can I say this? God has given us much. And it seems like the more God gives us, the more God does for us, the less we act like we need Him. The less we act like He's done anything. And the more we act like we have done it all. But the one who holds Pharaoh's heart in his hand is the God of the Hebrews. And it is for His fame, for His name, for His glory, for His magnification, that He does all things. God is almighty, yes, and He is almighty over the mighty. And the president has great power, and the Supreme Court has great power. I think they've overreached their power. Senate has great power. Congress has great power. But there is one who has power over them. Amen? ISIS thinks they have great power in blowing things up. There is a God who has greater power than them. Putin thinks he has great power, but there's a power greater than Putin. Somebody help me. We have a God who is almighty. And whatever powers may rise up, whatever nations may rise up, whatever dictators may rise up, and whatever they intend to do, they must stand before God and get God's permission before they can do anything. He is the almighty God. And our trust and our faith is in Him. Amen. You ever called these places? Maybe you had problems with your DirecTV, or you had problems with your Dish TV, and you make a phone call, and the worst thing that could happen, you're praying that it doesn't happen, but the worst thing happens when they answer the phone. They're not American. And you can't understand them. I said, I can't understand you. I want to speak to somebody higher up than you. Right? I want to speak to somebody higher up than you. Well, you understand this? There is no one higher up than God. He's at the top. And because of Jesus Christ, we have access to the person who rules all things. He's almighty. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for these truths. We pray that You would bless us and help us tonight to trust You, to put our faith in You, to glory in You and in You alone. And we pray, God, that You would give us the grace and the strength that we need to do that, and that we would glorify You in all things, and Your name would be glorified as being our God, a God of great power and a God of great might. We pray that You would do those things in our hearts, in our families, in our church, that you would be glorified by us and through us, and that your name would go forth into all places as a God of all power. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.